This is the Army Hour, the program that keeps you up to date about the Army and its varied operations around the world. This week from Germany, the story of the 14th Armored Cavalry Regiment. We visit the border separating East and West Germany.
The second sign reads, attention, danger to your life. You're in the operational range of Soviet zonal mines.
And then the mines actually lay between the first and the second rows of the barbed wire there.
That's correct. They lay in there, but if any of them should go off when you're standing up this close, the chances are you'd be hit by shrapnel or one thing or another.
And talk to a soldier at a border observation point.
Oh, you probably will see a couple of flares go off to our front. The colors of the flares most of the time would be white, red, or green. They only last about 3 to 4 seconds, you could see them. And after we see them, we have to call in a spot report.
And the new Christy Minstrels visit us on stage. We're mighty glad to have you with us here on stage, where each week we present for your enjoyment the top professional stars and the Army's finest talent. This time, it's the singing group that turns you on with their own high spirits. Here they are, the new Christy Minstrels with He's a Loser. Five consecutive years of duty in Europe without coming home. That's the unique distinction of the 14th Armored Cavalry Regiment, a proud record which no other Army unit there can match. Today, when we hear about divided countries, it's usually North and South Vietnam and North and South Korea. But there's also an East and West Germany symbolized by the infamous Berlin Wall and hundreds of miles of barbed wire and minefields which make up the East-West German border. A large portion of this border is the special bailiwick of the 14th Armored Cav, which is a vital part of the NATO shield against any aggression from the east. At Fulda, West Germany, headquarters of the regiment, Colonel Roland V. Heiser, the commanding officer, talks about its mission.
Well, our mission is really twofold. Our primary mission is to conduct surveillance along the interzonal border between East Germany and West Germany. Of course, this is our primary mission. In coordination with that, we have a mission to maintain a high state of readiness at all times as along this easternmost outpost of democracy. Our border mission is carried out through a series of observation posts, patrols, both ground and air patrols, and we don't do this alone. We do this with West German forces also. I'd like to explain this a little bit in detail. First of all, we do man observation posts along the border 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to maintain a continued state of vigilance. We augment these observation posts with patrols. Each day we patrol the border in jeeps covering our complete sector. We also fly the border and augment our ground patrols. It's interesting to note that we work very closely with the German Bundesgrenzschutz, or the Federal Border Police. We also work closely with the Zollpolizei, or the Customs Police of the Federal Republic of Germany. This makes it a joint effort. In order to accomplish this, we conduct border German classes for our young soldiers, and they receive 4 weeks of language training designed specifically for this mission prior to going on the border.
A 30-minute drive from Fulda, north on Federal Highway 84, brings you to a log barrier, two barbed wire fences, and a minefield. This is the border where Army Hour reporter Specialist Mark Morelli talks to Second Lieutenant Richard W. Stubbs of the 14th Cav's 1st Squadron, who is telling him about the signs which warned of the Soviets' minefield.
The second sign reads, "Attention, danger to your life. You're in the operational range of Soviet zonal mines."
And then the mines actually lay between the first and the second rows of the barbed wire there.
That's correct. They lay in there, but if any of them should go off when you're standing up this close, its chances are you'd be hit by shrapnel or one thing or another.
Then up on the hillside to our left is that a bunker I see, huh?
Right. You'll find a bunker in the corner of the tree line to the left. If you go back down the same way to the right, you'll find two observation towers. And you have, of course, the bunker immediately opposite you on the other side of the road.
On this side of the border, we have two of the Zollpolizei with their dog patrolling here. I wonder how often the people might come by on the other side. Would they be just the other side of the doubled barbed wire there, I guess, huh?
When they have the foot patrols, the Border Command foot patrols, they just walk along just on the outside, the eastern side of the 6-meter plowed strip. As yet, we have no fix on whether or not they come by at any regular intervals or not. We see them usually once or twice a day past our observation post.
Well, this looks more like farmland up here. Off to the left, it looks like a plowed field there. Do they take care of this land? Do people come out and work on it?
This area right in here has just been cleared back. One of the original orders on border security was that land up to about 200 meters from the border would be cleared of all high-growing brush and trees and so on, to be thinned out to prevent observation. And I would gather fields of fire. Right here, I don't believe the land is farmed, but in other sections along our border, it is farmed right up to the fence.
Looking out, we can probably see a good 10 miles, perhaps, before there's a lot of hills and all, but appears to be some sort of a factory or something on the eastern side there, about 5 miles away, perhaps. Do we keep an eye on the activity that goes on in a place like that?
As much as possible. Of course, we have our regular daily border patrols and so on that can observe these things. We have reports coming in through travelers back and forth across the zones.
Well, the most surprising thing to me is the way this road just plain ends. It's perfectly serviceable road right up until you would run into these poles here.
The original plan was to dig an anti-vehicular ditch, and with all the material that you dug out of the ditch, you piled it behind a log barrier, so that you not only have a barrier to get over, but you have a ditch to get through. This is, of course, in addition to mines, trip flares, and barbed wire. And if you notice, the bunker on both sides of it has got a cement wall.
It looks like the bunker has probably been abandoned, or I wonder if it's still operational.
Oh, I'd say it's operational. The problem is that, as you can see, the windows in them are so small that unless you really see somebody physically going in and out, it's awful hard to determine whether there's not anybody in it. For all we know, there's somebody in there right now.
I see. Now, how about these stone markers? I've seen two different kind of indicators since I've been out here. This one looks very much like a barber's pole. It's in black and red and yellow. What does this signify?
These were emplaced by the East Germans as the old barbed wire fences decayed. In areas where the border stones were covered by grass or fell over so they couldn't be seen easily, the East Germans came by and just on their side of the border put up these striped barber poles. Quite often you'll find them where the border makes a turn, as it does here. It's easier to spot from the air, for example, on their flights. The only thing that really marks a border is these small, about foot and a half high border stones that used to mark the division between Prussia and Hesse. Some areas, you can see, there's a single strand wire fence that run along the border. Some areas, there's an old barbed wire fence. But in most areas, these have decayed.
For the 14th Armored Cavalry Regiment, whose slogan is Suivez-moi, follow me, a salute by the United States Army Band with Hit the Leather. On the summit of a high hill overlooking the East German town of Geisa is a 14th Cav observation tower manned 24 hours a day, year in and year out. Sergeant Harrison Biggs, one of the observers, gives Specialist Morelli an idea of what he might see during a night watch.
Oh, you probably will see a couple of flares go off to our front. The colors of the flares most of the time would be white, red, or green. They only last about 3 to 4 seconds, you could see them. And after we see them, we have to call in a spot report.
Now, just sitting here, we can see the town is about maybe a mile away, looking down on the red rooftops there. Where do these flares come from? Do they come from the town itself?
No, they come from the wood line out on top of the hills out there.
Right in front of us is a double barbed wire fence with mines running through it. On the other side of that, oftentimes the Soviet police patrol that border. Would you tell me what they look like?
Oh, they have, most of the time, they have on green camouflage uniforms with weapons. They patrol from north to south. It should only be two or four. Never be one alone. It's always two or either four. It's a patrol.
Do they sometimes have dogs with them as sentries?
Yes, most of the time they have the dogs is in the wintertime. You don't see the dogs much in the summer.
How often do you see these people coming by?
You generally see the patrol between 9 and 10 in the morning. Late in the afternoon, you very seldom see anyone. You might see someone at the bunker on the right about 4 in the afternoon. But that's most of the time you would see anyone.
And it would seem to me that with these men passing, say 50 feet in front of us here,
right,
you might exchange maybe even a wave or something.
No, they never wave, and we are not authorized to wave back at them.
Looking down here on the town, do you ever see any military activity going on right here?
No, the only thing you see going along right into town would be military vehicles, a jeep or either a motorcycle, a truck, something like that.
Back to Fulda, where Colonel Heiser, the 14th Cav's commanding officer, briefly sums up the organization of a cavalry unit.
Well, the Armored Cavalry Regiment is a rather unique organization. There aren't too many in the United States Army, but we're rather proud of it. At every level of command, we exercise the combined arms team. It isn't purely a tank unit or an infantry unit, it's a combined unit. We have three squadrons and headquarters elements. Within the headquarters, we have an air cavalry troop, which is a recent addition to the regiment. We have three armored cavalry squadrons. Each of these squadrons is a combined arms team in itself. So we have the reconnaissance elements, the tank element, and the howitzer battery. And I might also point out that our nearness to the border makes the German community aware of our reason for being here. And this is quite important. As a result, we enjoy outstanding community relations.
From Fulda, West Germany, this is Army Specialist Mark Morelli returning you to the Army Hour in Washington, D.C. As the United States Military Academy Band strikes up Gary Owen, perhaps the best known of all cavalry songs, we say to the 14th Armored Cavalry Regiment, well done, and all good wishes for the future. To close the show, the impromptunes of the United States Army Band coming on grooving with Boomsy. The Army Hour, pre-recorded for broadcast at this time, is produced by the Office of the Chief of Information, Department of the Army. Music by the United States Army Band, directed by Lieutenant Colonel Samuel Lavoda, and the United States Military Academy Band, conducted by Lieutenant Colonel William H. Shimp. Our guest performers on stage were the new Christy Minstrels. Script and production by David B. Eskind. This is Master Sergeant Paul Van Dyke speaking.
This is the American Forces Radio and Television Service.